Can we just give another shout of praise?
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Amen.
Please, what's your name, darling?
I see you.
You came from the womb.
Am I invited?
Aww.
How many of you are from the womb? What's up? All right, glory to God. Trust that we mean that we do this and we're here in a very short time. So I welcome you all in the name of the Lord to this meeting. Please. We have our Bibles. So what exactly is the Lady Gaga and sex?
Why is it not projected?
You don't have it.
It's okay. Oh, let us sit down. It's okay.
How was the worship and prayer session? How many of us prayed for our future husband? Are you both sisters? I was thinking Pecula has become. I saw you.
Okay.
I'm going to pray for your future husband.
You all did.
I'm going to pray for your children. Please, when you leave this place,
don't. Next time, I will not invite somebody that I know to be a joker.
You know, don't leave here and drop suffering at those prayers. Continue praying those prayers. Hallelujah. Alright, you know, the way the spirit man walks, the new creation man walks, life does not happen to us, we happen to life. Alright, before you get married, by the knowing of the Holy Spirit, you're meant to know how many children you're supposed to have. You can know, the Bible says that the Spirit of God will tell us things to come. Hallelujah. So this day, when someone is not giving you a thing before and telling you a story that there's something wrong with your womb, you know, that's laughing. Alright, I've already seen this thing when I was my single days. So keep praying for your future husband and also for your children. So what exactly is the Lady Love and Sex? The Lady Love and Sex basically is a vision that, you know, the Lord laid on my heart 2016, started as a blog, and then that was 2017, and then 2018 spoke to me to start it. And I'm happy that you guys are here. You know, this space is small. I wanted a lot of people to come and then you know have. So that's why I wanted it to be big limited. You actually don't know that the seat is full. I think that let's just still open it for more people to come. You know, I shall never allow it to be not open because I knew some people may end up not coming. You know, not because a lady was really, she was just like, she really wanted to be here. She didn't need, she didn't have money. She was not sent to fair. The person was saying it this morning. So she wasn't sure she would make it. But you made it here and it's for a reason. I want you to celebrate yourself. Thank you so much for making it to the first meeting edition of the Lady Love and Sex. Today will be a day you never forget in the name of Jesus. The Lady Love and Sex is about, you know, raising ladies, you know, who know themselves, to know themselves in Christ Jesus. You know, raising ladies to love the Lord. That love, they don't just love for a man. I need to say that. To raise ladies, you know, to come into intimate relationship. You know, intimate, you know, fellowship with the Lord, you know, to get to love Him, to get to know Him, and then from that love, begin to also love the opposite sex, and then also do, you know, relationship correctly. Amen. Do we understand? So that's basically the Lady Love and Sex. But the lady in Christ, who is she? I love life with God, I love life with the man, and then sex, doing relationship correctly, you know, of course, with sexual purity, you know, hallelujah. You know, so why do Lady Love and Sex? You know, the enemy actually hates women. If you don't know now, know today. The enemy hates the woman. And one of the tools he's going to use, which is really using to, you know, to hinder the woman, is in the area of our relationship. Our love life. Do I have a weakness? Want to be sincere. Yeah, I'm a witness. I don't like sexual matters, relationship matters. Why are you looking at my eye? She's not my eye. It's true, right? Do I have a weakness? Let's be sincere. One of the areas the enemy, you know, throws at women, you know, is, you know, the area of love relationship with the opposite sex. The enemy hates ladies, so it's after a seed. And one of his weapons is attacking her love and relationship. You know, why is it that guys are not so bothered about when you get married? It's ladies that are bothered. But in my own life, they marry this and that. It's stopping their work. They can't think straight anymore. Somebody's getting married around them. Their heart is hijacking. You know, they can't fellowship with Jesus. They can't be prayed. They can't. Someone broke up with them. They are down. You know, but you can see that these things already happen a lot to guys. You know, in that sense. Guys, tell you, when I'm ready, I'm ready. These girls are the ones that are always up and running. You know, the enemy is because there's a curse that God, you know, spoke to Eve when, you know, they fell. You know, God said in Genesis 3, he said that your desire will be to the man and will rule over you. So if you're here and you're always hungry for a guy, you just want to be with a guy, you don't feel complete without a guy, that's, you're attracted to yourself under the curse. It's the truth. It's a curse. Amen. We are meant to be content and whole in Christ Jesus. And I realize this thing. It is when you are not, you know, when you are not content, when you are like, oh, to get into a relationship, you end up getting into a wrong relationship. You know, someone was telling me how that she was so pressurized. You know, she wanted to get married at a certain age and all of that. And she just started hearing that God said, this is the husband, this is the guy. And the guy almost strangled her one day. And then she was called the open up. Pressure, unnecessary pressure, we put ourselves through, is a curse. Amen. Don't put yourself under that pressure. I want, through the lady love says, I want ladies to be raised to be whole, happy with their single life. Not that they are content that they don't want to get married, but there's such a thing as when you're walking with God, you will know seasons of your life. You will know that you feel that at this time I should get married. The Bible says about Moses. You know, when Stephen was talking about Moses, he was narrating the story of, you know, the children of Israel. He said that, and it came to his heart when they clocked 40. It came to Moses' heart that, you know, we should do something. Some things will not come to your heart, you know, until you hit a certain season of your life. You are still in SS3 on your level. You are thinking about who you will marry. I say, can't you see that the pressure is so unnecessary? But when you walk with God, it will alert you. Tata, it's time. It's time to get to a relationship. Daughter, be sensitive. I'm sending my son. It's better that way, right? The Bible says in Romans 8, verse 14, it says, those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are sons of God. Amen. The Bible says of the sons of Issachar, you know, Chronicles says they understood times and seasons and knew what Israel ought to do. These people were functioning under the dispensation where there was no Holy Ghost in them. Yet they knew what a whole nation should do. We as believers, we carry the Holy Ghost on our inside, and we are so confused. We don't even know when to enter into a relationship, when to be single, when to, you know, really get to know. We are just scattered. We're just using somebody's experience to tag our life timetable. Friends are getting into a relationship, I think it's time. Say so. Amen. Say so. That's what people put up under undue pressure. Someone got married at 19 and you want to kill yourself, you are 28. What is that first plan for her? Is that first plan for you? Amen. Josiah became king at what age? 8 years. Yeah, I think it's 8. Became king at 8. When did Jesus step into destiny? 33. Does that mean that Jesus' destiny is less relevant than Josiah that started early? Let's focus. To put this pressure down, to stop this old pressure of one legacy relationship, you need to ask God, you need to ask God, what's your plan for my life?
and then you need to follow that plan. When you follow that plan, you'll be fine. And then as you follow that plan, and then you sense that it is time for you to get into a relationship, and it looks like it's not coming, that's when you should now wage war. We know that you're working with God, and God is saying, daughter, it's time to get to know me more. It's time to, you know, get to cultivate yourself, become a better woman, a better man. You are just busy looking for the right man. I don't have this on my notes. I don't know why I'm saying it. Amen. You know, so the enemy hates ladies. You can also say that's Revelation 12. You know, the Bible saying that and something happened, and then a woman was pregnant. You know, she was carrying a desire. You know, and then a dragon, a sign from heaven came, a dragon, which is Satan, and he came to stand before the woman while she was in labor. Guess what? To do what? To devour her child. The enemy hates you because you have a seed on the inside of you that is afraid of. This thing is not just about Mary. It's about the woman. It's about the woman. Right from the moment in the Garden of Eden when God prophesied that, you know, a seed, you know, is coming at you. It's going to bruise your head. God said, I will set an enmity between you and the woman. Genesis chapter 2, verse 13. Yeah, Genesis 2, verse 13. It says, I will set enmity between you and the woman. You know, that's when all these things started. Amen. You know, the old fight. That's why the devil doesn't like woman. I don't think the enemy is going to be happy to see you, you know, just get into a relationship, and then he wants to want you to miss it. I get to interact with a lot of people, you know, and I was with a married woman, you know, recently, and she was like, I regret getting married. This woman has given birth to children. And I just told her, I looked at the beautiful children that she has, and I told her that the mercy of God. God just wanted this children to come. But this man was never meant to be your husband. Because she said she married him out of pity. Everybody didn't want to have anything to do with it because of his anger issues. So she married him. And now she's facing her very consequences. She doesn't want to do anything. Ever since she married that man, when I think about this, I want to cry. Ever since she married that man, there's just been, you know, problem to the other. One problem to the other. Amen. I'm actually looking for that scripture. It's in Genesis 3:15. Yes. 3:15. It said, you know, I will set enmity between you and the woman. You and the woman. The enemy is not happy to see you happy. So he's going to set the guy who is going to fulfill his desires for you, who's going to wait. Have you ever thought about it? Why will a husband? Why will a husband be beating his wife? This is somebody that you will go married. People will sleep together. And you are beating her. Ah! That shows that the enemy has taken over. When you marry wrongly, you give room for the enemy to really become your enemy in time. Hallelujah. So what would the lady of herself help ladies to overcome? Ephesians 6 verse 11 says that put on the old armor of God that you may fight all the wiles of the enemy. That wiles there, the Greek meaning means trickery of the enemy. Amen. John 12 says that for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against power, against rule of darkness. These are the things we are wrestling against though. And let me tell the truth, we are wrestling against those things in the area of love and relationship. Amen. A guy will just come looking all nice and all creamy. And then just bamboozle. And then the lady just falls. And then they get married. And then problem starts. She was tricked. I can give you a story on that. There's a lady that, you know, she didn't want to marry this guy because I was not born again. So the guy said, is this your not born again? Eh? What I will do? The guy now started going to church. He's from a particular religion. He's a Muslim. Anyone else? Yes, he is. He's a Muslim. You know, and the guy started coming to church, in the foundation school, you know, pretending. Didn't get born again. And then you know, she came to propose to Lily. They said, okay, now that you're born, you are now in church, you're serious. I would accept. On the day of morning, midnight, carry this public, being smart. So let's do this thing. She was like, ah, what is this? I'm like, I never drag your Jesus thing. Get ready, another wife is coming. When I heard that, I almost went. Like, how? You see why? It's good to go by the books. Like, do not be on anybody, you're going to believe, and I'm saying, don't want again, I'm not. We'll get to that. You need to walk by the Spirit. Nobody can fool you. I can tell you that you're born again. I'm saved. I'm saved. My mother too. My parents are pastors. Can tell you I go to church every Sunday. A lot of people do that. That's why we need to walk with God. That's why I'm not just here to talk about relationship. We get to know God, and from knowing the Lord intimately, you can get to do relationship. Now talking to the Lord, I'm just telling him something. I said, boy, I believe in this thing that talk about five rules, five ways to do this, five ways to do this in your relationship, five ways to love, five ways, and I trust God has inspired me to write. People that read, listen to him, read what I write, I usually don't write like that. Five ways, because people are gifted for that, you know, that grace for that. And perhaps people could even, you know, inspire me to write that way, maybe five, you know, stuff why your relationship is not working and all. Okay. But what if the number six is your problem and I did not write about it? And then you now take the five and say, hey, everything I've checked out. I think I'm okay. But the number six may be your problem that only the Holy Spirit can reveal to you. So it's good go for relationship conference, read books, but see, have a relationship with God. Have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. He's a revealer of all truth. Amen. Ephesians 6 verse 12. You know, I talked about the rational in this flesh and blood, but it gets principalities. We are in a war, people, but it's a good fight of faith because Jesus has not come for us. Amen. So why the ending of the text, Proverbs 11 verse 9, it says that true knowledge shall be just be delivered. So this meeting is going to empower you with knowledge. This is not the only meeting we're having. We're having another edition. We're going to empower you with knowledge on how to, you know, do relationship right in the body, do relationship with what does relationship in the body of Christ. And it's amazing, it's wrong. There is a way we want to do relationship, and we'll just look at that from God's word today. But I want you to know that the enemy is after your relationship, it's after your love life. He wants you to miss it. Keep bringing one guy to you, bring this guy to you, bring the guy to you. He wants to miss it. Why? Because he has been defeated before by the coming together of two people. Oh, I've been around Matthew 1. And Abraham begat. And Isaac begat. Jacob. How were they begat? It was not because two people were coming together. You know, and David gave birth and then gave birth to Matthew, who ended up giving birth to Jacob, who ended up giving birth to Joseph, who became the covering for Mary, the mother of Jesus. See, if you study Joseph, we'll look at Joseph. If you study about Joseph, you will tell yourself that we will never be in marriage. Joseph was very key in the plan of God. Nobody, there, not anybody, not any man who married Mary. It had to be a man of the covenant. It had to be a man with sensitive. It had to be a man who hears from God. Because the way baby Jesus was saved was by him hearing, you know, the instructions of God. What if it was just one kind of man somewhere? One tax collector that does not know his left from his right, one drunkard. Do you think it would have been a truth is, baby Jesus would have been helpless to tell the truth. Because the truth is, from Revelation 12, we can see that actually the enemy wanted to kill Jesus. His intention was he wanted to kill Jesus. That was why he set up King Herod, you know, to find that baby. Because what's your own? Child never grow rich anything. You're already getting, so let's come and take over my throne. Maybe for example now you are the CEO of your company and then they tell you that the owner of the company initially just gave birth to one child, just gave birth, and then you are in your 30s, you are already getting worried of a child that just gave birth, that the child should come and take you over. Whatever will stir that up is the enemy. So Aaron was stirred up, you know, to attack baby Jesus. Hallelujah. The giving birth of this people you see in Mark 1, of these prophetic key players, was because of a woman. And then you notice something in Mark 1 when you read it. You notice that some women's name was pronounced. Some women's name were not pronounced. This one gave birth to this one, but just five women that were pronounced. Tama, Bathsheba, Ruth, Rahab, and then Mary. Other women were silent. They were silent key players. It tells us that, see, the woman has two types of destiny. She has a frontline destiny role to play. And some will have a silent destiny role to play. But whatever you go, wherever you are, just know that you have a destiny. You have a role to play in this kingdom agenda. We know about Joseph, but Jacob was his father. So who was Jacob's wife? Who was Joseph's mother? We don't know. But he ended up, he turned out to be a good guy. And then his mother would have really been a good influence. But she was a silent, prophetic tool that God used. Hallelujah. Galatians 4 verse 4 says something very interesting. It says that when the fullness of time came, God sent his son, made of a woman. That's very striking. Anytime I read that scripture, I'm always like, Jesus, Lord, wow. Made of a woman. This is made of Mary. Made of a woman. Made of a woman. See, beloved, God is still sending. Jesus was a prophetic, you know, was an agenda. Was a salvation agenda of God. That God passed through a woman. God is still sending his agenda, you know, seeds, agenda, mission through the woman. You, as you're sitting there, you have an agenda sitting on the inside of you as a physical child and as a vision. You have something that the world is waiting for, that the world wants to, the world is waiting for to be amazed at. When Jesus performed miracles, they always gave glory to God, and they would say things like, God has visited Israel. A prophet has visited us. God has sent somebody to visit us. Never have we seen such a thing. They were all amazed and giving glory to God. There is something about your life that needs to come out, that needs to be a blessing to God, and so that people can give glory to God. The enemy doesn't want that to happen. And one of the ways we can hinder it is using a bad relationship to, you know, seize and sit on that issue. While coming here today, I knelt down and I hugged my husband and I said, thank you. Thank you for your support. For being that man that allows me to do what God wants me to do. Because if I married anybody, zero, nobody will help me. Nobody, maybe they will help me when I'm old. Nobody help me now. I'll have been struggling. So I will not miss it in marriage in the name of Jesus. The enemy hates women with a passion because they are operators of divine agenda. There's an agenda on the inside of you that is waiting to be given birth to. Glory to God. Glory to Jesus. When God gave the prophecy in Genesis 3, you know that the enemy, you know, that the seed of the woman is going to come and bruise you. Right from that time, the enemy started looking for who is this seed. So he set up the death and the killing of male children during the time of Moses, remember. What you know right now is doing what? I'll tell you why. In the book of Matthew 2, when Jesus was born, when King Aaron heard it, and then we saw that the wise men are deceived him. he said they should go and kill all the children below two. I thought he would have said kill all the male children. This one was both male and female. I believe that was the day that this whole thing about the girl child nonsense started from them. That was when they war against the girl child. The devil was mad. The woman has birthed something. That is, more women have come, so kill all of it. All male, female, all. He was angry. The enemy fears the seed of the woman. So we do anything to ensure you don't deliver your seed vision and nurture it. And one way is my relationship. So maybe it's not the gravity of marrying well. Just think, just I know you love me. And you have butterflies for me. I have feelings for you. I think you're a person. It goes beyond that, love. It goes beyond that. Because every time you choose, in marriage, I tend to not feel nothing. You won't feel a thing. All these things I say shocking, if you're in a relationship now, you say shocking your ice cream, or oh, butterfly, you can't sleep with that guy. When you get married, you tell that the things won't happen. You won't be seeing them. I can prove it to you. How many of us, we're born again, right? We're born again. How many of us, when we got born again, how do you feel? Just the fierce times of God. Oh, my Jesus.
Oh, Rishi, Rishi. Hey, Jesus, I can't breathe. Thanks to God. And then anything just asks for Jesus, I want to see pass. Somebody just come. Jesus just happened to back back. And then Jesus, this relationship is sweet though. And then
now ask for the father. Let me not fall. Prepare my clothes. I said, let me not fall. Thank you, Jesus. And then we fall. Has it happened to you?
It happens with our relationship with Jesus. Do you think it's not happening to your relationship with your who will be your husband?
It's happened. But that's why he says that we need to keep sharing. We need to keep, you know, edifying ourselves, you know, building ourselves on his holy faith. He says, praying the Holy Ghost. The next verse is, keep yourself in the love of God. You need to keep yourself in that zone. Keep yourself being edified.
Jesus was not happy. He said that people have forgotten your first love. Because he was shocking everybody before you first met. Everybody was shocking, shocking, shocking. He said, but now you've forgotten me, you've forgotten your first love. He doesn't want that to happen. But because the enemy will try to make it happen. And the funny thing about that scripture is that these people were doing everything. They were walking the church. He said, you do everything, you stand against immorality, you stand against sin. He said, well, I have one thing against you. You've forgotten your first love. You will be married and you are still doing everything. You are
for the
man, the
thing,
pass on everything,
and all die down. And like, God, why am I trying this thing? Why this thing? Glory to God. The judge shall live by faith. But you must always make sure you keep stirring that love. Amen. Glory to God. Are we getting this? If not for the angel of the Lord that appeared to Mary, I mean, that appeared to Joseph, rather. You know what the angel appeared to Joseph? To tell him that, you see, you take Mary as your wife. Mary would have been alone. That's not a good place for a woman to be alone. Like, she had a destiny about to be present. God knew she needed a covering. She needed Joseph, so God had to come in. Joseph was ready to put her off. If you read the Bible, Matthew 2. Said was quietly. God didn't want her. God didn't want that. Because it would have been very dangerous for the woman. I know the Bible says that we need helpmates. I mean, we're helpmates to the men. The truth is, the husband is also a covering to us. And without them covering us, it would be one kind. Look at women who are shouting all over the place. Woo, fire, 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 fire. And they are treating their husbands. Hallelujah. So Godly relationship leading to marriage is for purpose. I'll say that again. Godly relationship leading to marriage is for purpose. It's not for I love you, you love me, you love me too, I love you too. We go to the movies, we go to the movies, ice cream, oh Valentine's Day, what are you buying for me? My birthday party, didn't call me. That's not the essence of a godly relationship. Think of all of those things. Godly relationship is for purpose. And I'll show it to you from scriptures. The Bible says in Malachi 2 verse 14 to 15, you know, God was talking about, you know, the godly seed that you're meant to be with your wife, or a godly seed. There's a godly seed that is coming from this union. There's a godly seed. There's something God is looking for in a union. Amen. So it's for purpose. And I'll show it to you again from Matthew, from the life of Joseph and Mary. Maybe when they say marriage, when you have sex with somebody, right? But you see that Joseph did not have sex. You see that Joseph did not have sex with, you know, Mary, until he had helped her birth a baby. The urgency to fulfill purpose was what was doing Joseph and Mary. You know, Santa Balahara. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph and talked to him, he said that, see, what Mary is carrying, she's carrying a child that's going to be the savior of Israel. And then, wow, Joseph was like, are you for real? Joseph at that moment knew Mary by revelation. Never marry a man that doesn't mean by revelation. If you don't marry a man that doesn't mean by revelation, he's going to abuse you. That's why before you get to a relationship, purpose has to be clear. The angel of the Lord revealed to Joseph the purpose of Mary. And then immediately Joseph stood up, he understood, and took Mary, his wife. Shut down whatever anybody had to say and focused. Moved about with her baby, ensuring that they are safe. He married her for what? Purpose. Not for sex. Marriage is not for sex. Marriage is not for sex. Marriage is first and foremost for purpose. It is babies that marry because they want to have sex. You don't marry because you want to have sex. You marry because of purpose. That's the reason Joseph married Mary. The Savior of Israel will be waiting for sin. My wife is Mary is the one carrying. Okay, what anybody has to say, I'm going with her. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You marry for the urgency of purpose, not for the urgency to get married. My body is burning. I want to marry. That scripture that Paul said, if your body is burning, you marry. He was not saying that if you don't have purpose for your life, just for your body is burning, just for somebody to, oh, my body is burning me. Please, next week, I need somebody. We need to calm this fire. He was talking to the Corinthian church. Those guys were prayer-filled Christians, so they understood purpose. You notice it was in the Ephesian church, he prayed for them that they will feel the knowledge of God's will to know the hope they are calling. He did pray that for the Corinthian church. Those guys understood purpose. So they just, for them, let them marry. They understand purpose now. Their body is born. Oh yeah, let them marry. You don't marry for the urgency to have sex. You marry for the urgency of purpose. That's the reason I got married. I knew purpose was calling for me. Glory to God. So that's the reason to get married. Don't get married for sex. Tell your neighbor, you don't get married because of sex. Hallelujah. You don't get married because of sex. You marry for what? Purpose. Glory to God. You know, I want us to read Matthew 1 from 18 to 24. Someone should be reading the verse for me. Let's all read it together. Let's see some things about Mary and Joseph's relationship. It will drive a lot of things to your heart in this meeting.
My everything, they call me,
are we there? Matthew 1, verse 18. Okay, can somebody, you know, just read that verse for me?
Now the breath of Jesus Christ was on his was on this wise.
Mm-hmm.
When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph,
mm-hmm.
before they came together,
mm.
she was found with child of the Holy Ghost.
Stop. It says when Mary was espoused to Joseph. They were not doing boyfriend and girlfriend. The word espoused them means engaged. They knew what they were going to. They knew they had marriage in view. Doing relationship God's way, you need to know the end from the beginning. Any guy that comes to tell you, let us be going out, no purpose, no end, no destination, please run from such a guy. I'm serious. I know this only good agenda that they think not that way. I just see the guy rise. You just see ring inside. You just, oh my God. Purpose. So all this while in the relationship I've been dating, who have just been, I feel funny, but I've seen other people with you. But the way God doesn't want anybody to be seen with other people. He wants a man to know you are the one. See, covenant people, they don't date, they get engaged. Why? Because covenant people, they are destiny minded people. They don't do trial by error. I'll prove it to you. Abraham told his servant, please go to my family's house, look for wife for Isaac, my son. Give him specifically that it has to be within the family. That's a prophetic, you know, picture there. Can you marry outside the body of Christ? So and then he went and then to Papa Isaac, oh yeah, Rebecca, come. You want the son, my son, my own. They went, he met her, they married back, everything. It was not a long drama of, are you the one? Will you be the one? Let's not be trying out. Let's be dating. You know, covenant people don't have time for those things. Covenant people, they know. Because the reason is because covenant people are destiny conscious people. They understand destiny, they understand purpose. So don't let any guy waste your time. Then let's just be dating. See, that guy is not serious. Any guy who says let's just be dating, short-sighted. Why? Because he does not know the end from the beginning. The Bible says that God knows the end of every reader scripture to use in Isaiah. It says that God declares the end from the beginning. And then Jesus says, and what I see my Father do, I do. So we are meant to actually be walking like our Father. We are meant to be walking, you know, doing things the way He does things. Amen. Isaiah 46:10, declare the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet known, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do my pleasure. We are sons of God. So it's what our Father do that we must do. Any guy that just says, let's just be dating, and then he does not have a plan, please run away from such a guy. I'm telling you the truth. Run away from such a guy. These guys are short-sighted. Because they're not ready to commit. Covenant people commit. That's why I say, when God wants to do a covenant, you commit something. When you wanted to do a covenant with Abraham, something, you told him, oh yeah, get bread, get animal. Something must, you must sacrifice something. Getting to a relationship in the kingdom is not just leisure, it's a sacrifice. Because you are sacrificing that, okay, I want to be with just one person. Yeah, sacrifice that I just want to be with just one person. It's a sacrifice. It's a commitment, it's a covenant. Amen.
Amen.
Where is the relationship heading to? Let's just be going out. Where are you going to? Where are you going to? No, I looked at my life and I was like, oh, thank you for your life. Everything was a thing. A big one. Seriously. Thank God for Jesus' light. I'm sure in my heart. Just be with the guy I wasted times. From 13. Dating no matter. No agenda. Just dating from one place to another. No, why I was dating. To soothe my emotions. we girls want there are emotions we have. So we want somebody to just be rubbing it, making it sweet, rubbing our heart, telling us nice things, telling us nice messages, telling us I love to have repeated. Transfer that into God. It's not for a man, first of all. It's for God. Amen. Let your heart beat after God. It's not for a man. It's for God. If you carry that thing and don't allow God feel it, and go and marry, you drink that man. The man just left the home. And then you're like, oh, babe, I've missed you. Nah, I just left the house. Then can you come back home? She wants to drink. She's demanding. Nobody can talk to her husband around. She's just very, very clingy. Her husband, my husband, I mean, nobody has a husband. Because she just feels that it's a man that can satisfy. A man cannot satisfy that emotional craving you have. It's God. You have to give it to God. Amen. So, talking about doing God's relationship, I was talking about that we marry for purpose, not for the urgency to get rich. We marry for purpose. And they were really matrimony team, right? So that she was engaged. And then he says that she was found with child. Meaning that you're not having sex. It's not that you are engaged and you're in a relationship, it's not if you're having sex. You guys are having sex. Amen. What does it mean that you should be having sex? The fact that the guy said, okay, now I know the effort I'm giving you, I'm my wife. Ah, bless, I'll marry you. See you? I'll marry you. It's done. Then, you know, starts showing sexual advances. There's a lady I taught one time in foundation school several years ago. And then she said that this guy said, she's his wife. So, is he church leader? No, she's the church leader. Then the guys are having sex with her. And the lady came from another church, foundation school. And, started having sex with her. And then, I didn't know so much then. But because of my work with Jesus, not that I told her, great relationship. There is no, let's call the guy to do anything. He's already in error. And then, she said that the relationship with God has gone down. I said, inspiring. Anything that affects your relationship with God, see, even let angel appear that say, this guy is your husband. And then, that relationship is affecting your relationship with God. That relationship has to go, because your relationship with God is the most important thing. Your work with God is. Jesus did not die for you till you get married. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave to you, because that we may have what? Eternal life. Not that you will have one baby boo. So please, anybody that is in a relationship with you, that the person wants to pin you down and say that, see, please, just run away. And then she left the guy and all of that. And, a few months later, God said to her, I was a good guy who was working with me. Sexual priest towards her. Pastor said to him, he wants to shake herself. It's holy, So don't put yourself under pressure. Put yourself under pressure and you want to be in a relationship that is full of sex, and then you are sinning against God, the lover of your soul, because of a guy. Need to break from such relationship. All right, let's read 19. Are we getting blessed? Let's read Matthew 1:19.
Please read Matthew 1:19. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately.
Glory to God. I love the Bible. He said, and Joseph, being a just man. What kind of man are you engaged to? What kind of man are you in a relationship with? Just means to be a just man. Another person was a righteous man. He wasn't an Indian man. He was an upright man. He was a covenant man. She was engaged at the mother of Jesus. Who was not Jesus. Look at the kind of person she was engaged to. What kind of man are you in a relationship with? A club, iPhone 6, all those, that kind of guy you want to be engaged to. If you get engaged to that kind of guy, do you think that kind of guy will be able to carry your destiny, your baby destiny, and take it to delivery? One lady one day, she was in the labor room, and then he got married, and then the other one was crying. Things were happening, conditions was crying. So, why should I was disappointed? How can you cry? He's so far be praying. Which one is crying? She married all these Eloise husbands now. I want to just be whiskey, all those things, and all of that. So time for serious destiny battle is crying. No content. No inner strength. So we cry at the face of issues. The Bible says, if we fail in this of our passion, we this month. You can't marry just any guy. You can't marry just any guy. The kind of man that Joseph was, Mary was engaged to, a just man. Please continue reading.
In 20. Mm-hmm. But why he thought on these things? Mm. Behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, that son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost.
Exactly. That's what I said earlier. Joseph had a revelation of who his wife, you know, is. Do not marry a man that does not have a revelation of who you are. So, but my husband knew my destiny. He knew the kind of woman he was marrying. So what I mean, I got a shock to me. Some people are so very, very into their marriage is not working out. Mm-hmm. Which conference? Conference? When? Since when? Like, I don't know. I thought I married. So things are I'm not used to this thing. So marry a man who knows you by revelation, who knows your destiny and can hold you by the hand, even when you are slapping behind and say, oh yeah, get up. I'm sure there were times when Mary was like, please be. Why me? Why me? The whole monkey, people be mocking me. Joseph was there to encourage her. He knew her by revelation. He knew her destiny. He was an intercessor. He was a priest, he was a covering. But you don't know to marry one guy that doesn't know anything about, he doesn't even know scriptures, he doesn't know foundational things, he doesn't even know how to pray. And they want to marry him and have him along. Except you're not a destiny woman. If you're not a destiny woman, you can do all, you can do that one. But the kind of women abroad that God needs to raise are destiny conscious women. And destiny conscious women cannot marry just any man. You cannot marry this anymore. So those of you that are here, I am so searching you for a destiny women. Because people have, that's what makes everybody is in destiny. We carry destiny, but some people are not conscious that they carry destiny. They're not working in it, they're not working that conscious. You know that you have destiny on the inside of you. You know there's something about you. So your mind is very funny. Because they're speaking, telling me this, and I was like, George, you cannot marry just anybody. You are so strong. Once I got born again, I started knowing the Lord. That was the next thing he started dealing with me on. Your marriage is very good, child. And then he started telling me, pray for your husband. Start praying for your husband. I married just anybody. What did I tell you one day? He said, if I married somebody else, they'd have slapped me by now. Oh, Jesus. You know, there's something that, bless God for good men. Seriously. Because we are growing and all of that. Some things I do to him, and I'm like, even so, I'm shocked. Hey, Jesus. Then why did you just come to your husband? You know, and then, but think of what kind of man can be here, can endure. It's not like my dad beats me since. And they just me on my status. There is your face now. They just be using somebody else's face. I'm not seeing your face. Like, mosquito bite, I can't, my face is, they are blowing your face and all that. All those things. Marry well, people. Marry well, women of God. Hallelujah. How to do relationship God's way? Acts 26, verse 30 says, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. Please, let's do Matthew 3:20. Let me see if there is something else we have to say there. Read 20. Okay, 21. What does it mean?
And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus.
Revelation. You knew her by revelation. You knew her by revelation. You knew her by revelation. You can see that relationship starts with what? Purpose. Why would I want to be in a relationship with you when I don't know where you are going to? What if you are going to Cotonou and me and going to Zaria? And I say let's go into a relationship. How are we going to be together? You can't walk out. When the angel of the Lord spoke to Joseph and said, that this is Mary. When he spoke and said, this is Mary's destiny. Guess what? Joseph knew it wasn't my destiny. He would have said, God, okay, I don't think I can do it. Go find another person. Me? No. God was like, I knew. So immediately he took her as his wife. That's what I'm saying. He took her as his wife. No discussion, nothing, explanation to anybody. He took her as his wife. That's why you see some people, some guys, the lady says she doesn't have them anymore, she doesn't have kinikum, but the guy says something and see destiny. So he's ready to hold that together and say, we'll trust off another woman. Purpose is what keeps marriage going. If not for purpose in my marriage, I'd have been fed up by now. Because what is it? Wake up in the morning, see the same face. What next? What keeps your marriage going is knowing that there is a reason for this marriage. So if you marry somebody that there's no purpose to it, very soon you start shouting your friends. They realize they make mistakes. Just for because of. That's why you think they divorce a lot in the United States. Ask yourself. Number one, because it is a normal thing. And because it's a normal thing, it's women are just not divorced. Well, in Nigeria, if they give women that chance to stay divorced, many people, many NGOs' wives said, I beg, they've gone. So many people are in marriages, they don't even know what they're doing. So how do you choose relationship God's way? You do relationship God's way by having a relationship with God. The Bible says in 20 verse 30, it says that I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among them that are sanctified. God's word is actually what will teach us how to do relationship God's way. It is what that can build us up. It is what that can give us the right man. It is that will give you your inheritance. You have a man for you. There's a man God has for you. In the kingdom of God, there is a man for you. Not every man is meant to be your husband. So you don't need to be jumping around looking at the guys in church. This one, this that one. Don't need all that. There's a man for you. Says that the word of God is able to build you up. The word of God can build you up to be that woman. That the right man, you attract the right man. The word of God can build you up. That you will attract the right kind of man. The word of God can build up and give you an inheritance. The word of God can build and give you the right man. I found my husband by the word. God said, he said, I will teach you. Romans 8:14. I'm going to stop joking with the Bible, stop joking with your relationship with God, stop joking with scriptures. Spend time with the word. As you have fellowship with the word, you just maybe read an encounter in the Bible, and then that encounter just the reason just brings it to you. That's how you meet your husband. You're like, wow. You're just reading about, you know, how Saul went to that on his way. Which can just bring a drama and then just bring a revelation that as you are going like this, something will happen, maybe a traffic will drop, and then that's how you meet your husband. It's also time. And then something happens like that, it's also time, you're already smiling. And then the guy comes already smiling. This is how you already know. See, that's how we play in the kingdom. If we know we do things by revelation. We know things before they happen. I knew my husband before he went to the post. You already know my husband. I know. Just show the person that's the man for you. So get into the word. You do relationship by having a relationship with God. Have a relationship with God. Stop joking with the Bible. Stop joking with scriptures. Sit with the word. This is an example, you know, something that made me a matter. Two different women. Mary Martha was just busy jumping around. Which one is the right man? Mary sat down with the word. And Jesus said something to her in Luke 4. In Luke 10, rather, 42. He said, one thing is needful, Mary, Martha. And Mary has found that thing. Martha was not jumping about, what will I wear today to church? That his brother would look at, hey, this one, oh, this other one, who is my husband? Oh, will I get married? Jumping about up and down the place, dating different guys. Okay, I'll go out to this one Monday. On Tuesday, I'll go out with this one. Maybe after one of them, one week, we eventually close. You know, we don't know, we just have to rise. But Mary sat down with the word. And Jesus said that this is what is needed. So are you sitting or you're just materializing about jumping from one place to another today? Hey, what's up? Are you still with Kule? Kule, we left each other 2 months ago. Relation that started 2 months. I'm looking for husband, so I have to keep jumping around. Stop that. You don't need to do that. Stay with God. Stay with God. It's not a cost to be seen where you are. I am happily engaged with Jesus. It's my goal for now. I'm always my goal until another person comes to be, you know,
ethnic.
But it's forever. Glory to God. So you do relationship God's way by having a relationship with God. Seek first the kingdom of God, and every other thing will be added unto you. He says, Jesus said, the Gentiles seek after what we will eat, what we will wear. And where will we stay? Those things are very, very, these are like the three needs of man: shelter, food, clothes. Let me take that shelter in my ass. Who will be my covering? Who will be the person that I will be with? That's what the Gentiles worry themselves about. And the Bible says something in Psalms 37. There's no time for that point. So it says something in Psalms 37. It said that. Reasons is that when he said, trust the Lord with all your heart, and not always, you know, let him direct your path, let yourself in him. In the down part, you know, latter end of the that chapter, he said that those people who don't trust the Lord, they end up doing evil things. When you don't delight yourself in the Lord, you are not patient. He says, wait for the Lord. Wait for the Lord. Wait for him, be patient. Wait on him, rest on him. See, but those who don't wait for the Lord end up doing evil things. They end up doing, that's what I start thinking. Then I'm visiting Jerry every Friday night. I'll be looking for him. And then you are going every Friday night, just looking for the guy. Your motive for looking for the guy is so that something can come up. Start conceiving evil things. Guy, you're not supposed to be chatting with at all hours, you're chatting with him. So because you are impatient. Hallelujah. Psalm 31 verse 30. This one blessing. It says, favor is the system where beauty is faith. But a woman that feared the Lord shall be praised. The relationship because it's very important. I know that Proverbs says one woman, I'm married at some point, her family life was on point, and he ended it with saying, because this woman fears the Lord. It's not because she was beautiful. It's not even because she was favoring. Because anybody can, people can have long legs and do things and push them and then say it's favor. You know? But a woman that fears the Lord, even if she's not very, very fine, the beauty is your holiness. She will always be favored. Hallelujah. She will always be favored. But the woman that fears the Lord shall be praised. And then this, you know, the opposite of that scripture now. A woman that does not fear the Lord will be what? A woman that does not fear the Lord will be mocked. Now, remember that scripture in Isaiah 4. In Isaiah 4 verse 1 2 that says that in not in the last days, it says seven women will be dragging the skirt of one man that marry me. That scripture, if you read it from chapter 3, it was talking about women who do not fear the Lord. That chapter 4 is not their reality. They will be the one dragging for men up and down. But when you fear the Lord, when you stay with the Lord, you won't conceive such evil things. You will stay in your place. You will be looking for how to be looking for a man. You know, try to drag and come for a man. You know, and then try to get the man to pay attention to you. When you fear the Lord, when you stay with him. In Isaiah chapter 3, it says that God was like, those women are in Judah and Jerusalem that used to walk about with long men and rebellious women and all that. God was just giving them their things that destroyed them. And then now continue from 4 and says that they will be dragging for men. If you want to be dragging for men up and down, stay with the Lord. Walk with him. And guess what will happen? The same will drag for you. Not the other way around. It's the truth. You say, woman, that's the truth, because you fear the Lord. And that's how it's meant to be. It's not seven women. I don't know where it says that, don't worry. Let's take your name. They're not the one negotiating deals. What kind of dishonorable thing is that? When God made Adam, when God made Eve, he brought her to Adam. She was not going to drag it and make them. See, God just made me. God just removed me from your body. Can't you understand? I'm your wife. Pick it. Those things, oh God, what just are dishonorable? So you are your royalty. You stay in your place. The way when I read that scripture, what I see from that scripture is I see God after he made Eve from Adam. Adam was on the floor. And then the woman was here. And then she stood. It was in her place. As a woman. There is a place for a woman. There is a responsibility of a woman. There are things that you are meant to do. She stayed in her place. Adam woke up, stood, and recognized. Behold, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. Behold, she was like, yeah, that's right, I know. She confirmed it. She was not going to, Adam, wake up. Are you not going to see? What's wrong with you? Don't do all those things. If the man is not seeing it, stay in your place. You can also see this play out in the life of Mary. When Joseph was thinking of putting her away, you think she did not know? Why did God not tell her to go and talk to Joseph? It's not in a woman's place to be begging a man. Of course, maybe you're in a relationship and then things are not working out. Yes, you can. Oh, if I'm sorry. But when the guy, you're not the one that will beg him to marry you. If you beg him to marry you, you will beg him to stay with you. Let the man pick you. Stay in your place. Don't dishonor yourself. They went to find Isaac's wife. They traveled to find Isaac's wife. They did not invoke her. They traveled to go and find. He prayed a serious prayer. He says, "If I find a wife, that's a good thing and obtains favor." We are doing a good thing. Stop behaving like a bad thing that somebody will just find anyhow. You are far above rubies. You are highly sought after. Carry yourself in that manner. Even if your nose is long like this or your teeth is big, it doesn't matter. It's the truth. Carry yourself in that manner. People said I was very ugly when I was in secondary school. They called me the ugliest and sort of affected me. And it made me want to just put myself hand in the okay, me guy, I just come and say, let you. And then I'm cool with them. But when I started walking with Jesus, and then Jesus renewed my mind, I carried myself with dignity. And the glory began to reveal himself in my life. I know. So carry yourself. Your eye may be very big. It doesn't matter. You are still the glory of God. You are still the image of God. Carry yourself properly. Not just another guy just because it's fire. There's picking interest in you. You're not thinking, me. They are very interested. Oh, God. I'm so I'm so lucky. Hello. Jesus died for you. With your color eye, oh. He died for you. He died for you because he loved you. That's enough reason to spread your shoulders.
Yeah.
See, I'm a babe. Everybody that is seen as a baby is so
comfortable.
See, babe. Carry yourself. Carry yourself well. I carry myself well. I know my husband is plenty fine girls. I carry myself well. Not intimidated.
I'm his wife. I'm his wife.
But I carry myself. I know who I am. There's no low self-esteem anywhere. I don't feel like, hey,
you married to me.
I know. No. You are meant to marry me. No, my other person will have married me. Mm-hmm. And my other person will have married you too. You don't need to go. Hallelujah.
My phone just went off. So my message just went off.
Hallelujah. Okay, so another reason for another way of doing relationship God's way. I thought about, you know, you have to have a relationship with God. And then you have to know the head from the beginning of people. Relationship is purposeful, that's the name of that point. And then doing relationship with God's way, you have to be led. You have to be led. So people do say that God does not choose anymore for people who you should marry. I don't understand that revelation. And I want to believe that it's a language problem. I want to believe that. Because you can't tell me that God does not choose you to marry. He does. He just does not enforce it on you. But he will tell you. If God will be choosing kings for his people, is it a man that will stay with you that God will not have a stay over? That you just need to say, anybody just fine. Just go around. Anybody just see select. The will of God is his choice. And it's there for you to take it. True relationship, God will be led. When he wanted to pick a king for Israel, he said, Saul, he told Samuel, Saul, so Saul messed up. And then God now said, okay, let's go and look for another king. You can see that there's a searching here. So please don't put yourself under pressure. God is searching for your husband for you. He's searching for your husband for you. The old children of Israel were just there resting. It was between God and the prophet that were moving about, looking for who's going to be the next king. God is searching for you. He knows already, like he knows. So that searching means that he's, you know, okay. In terms of prophetic, I mean the timing, the place where people will meet, and all that. His eyes are all over, you know, the Bible says that he has a lot of people to and fro the earth, looking for who will stand to himself strong on their behalf. God's eyes are going all over, okay. Who is ready now for my daughter? So of course you know there's no one man or woman. Yeah. There's no one man or woman. The Bible didn't say, and Mary will conceive a child. It always says a virgin shall conceive. That means anybody. But the key thing there is that the person has to be a virgin. So the only thing, criteria that somebody needs to be your husband is the fact that he's carrying the destiny templates, that he's in the same thing with your life, that, you know, is compatible with your life. That's the only, you know, reason. Because man has a free will, we can decide I'm not doing it again. What if God say, oh, only Saul cannot be the king of Israel? Israel would have been doing that kind of king. God said, let's go and find another person. And then, for Samuel, did something that most girls do. I love when I hear from him, I'll be like, Samuel, you helped me preach my message very well. I saw something you did. When God said, oh, yeah, let the sons be passing, just someone told that. This is the king. So God will do it. Someone find me, I just come and say, hello, how are you? You look so good today in church. This must be the guy. He must be the guy, so fine. And he's not your husband. He's just a guy who just appreciated you. That you look good. And then he was about to anoint him. So it means that you may be a prophet, maybe having you may walk in spiritual gifts here. If you're not careful, you may choose wrongly. If you are not led by the Spirit of God. God said, please, I beg. Don't. Man see his physical. What I see in the heart. So the way God chooses our spouse, the way God selects people who would work with us in destiny, marital destiny, you know, is by looking into the heart. Not looking at the guy's bank account, the guy's complexion, his teeth, is he arranged, is it not arranged, all those things. They're not hammered. It's the heart God is looking at. So that's what you need to focus on. So looking at matrimony. I've seen, I've find that. In fact, the finest of them was the devilish of them all. This guy was fine. It was so fine that we kissed each other and I posted him on Facebook. It was fair. Fine. Like, boy. This guy was nice. Him and the devil, they are intimate. Seriously. Somebody that will be. Put on Facebook, oh my gosh, I'm flying, I'm in the air right now to Las Vegas, you know, and all. Because he has this Porsche look. I said somebody else, I beg, shut the door, not bring what I see, but just now. He lies a lot, says that my father has examined me. No, you're just nice. That's my person right now. Thank God. Thank God, you're using me now.
You're like the love of your life.
You don't go by looks. I wasn't looking for a fine man. Honestly, I've seen men. I took as a God. I've seen them on them. My brothers as a God. Even if the guy has one shirt, one trouser, his leg is big.
Your will for me.
That's what I want. I just want your will. Your will, oh Lord. So some people used to say I had the hard list. Why? What have the hard list of me? I was tired. I wanted just God to be. Oh yeah, we have this. This must be white. This is for 32. His eyebrow must be full. His eye must be white. You know, it must be complexion, light cream, all those things.
How many things want to write?
The thing about writing is a real spiritual that the Spirit now brought me into. When I began to pray for my husband, I began to know my husband by revelation. So I began to write things about him. My husband is this. My husband is that. My husband is this. My husband is that. So those things were destiny things. My husband, not that he must have a prado trip. He must live in banana island. He must all those things. It was destiny things. It's a ministry gift. Your husband recognized you just waiting for me. I saw those things. So when I compared them, this is who my husband is. You know, so I knew him by revelation. So those things can form your list. You'll be praying for your husband, you'll know that the kind of man that you marry is a man that is going after PhD level. You can know that he's a very brilliant person. Someone who is an academia. You can know that by revelation and then it's in your desire. The Bible says that when you delight yourself in the Lord, you keep your desires in your heart. It means that you delight yourself in the Lord, God begins to place his desires, the things about your life in your heart, and you begin to desire them. Maybe so you're just speaking for the politicians, like my husband is going to be in politics. So coming and being just a desire in your heart, that's to give you a sign, okay, that's it. And then you can write it down, my husband is a politician. Those things, they are not like that, the one they're just thinking around. He must be staying in this one, he must have this one, that canal, he must be led. Amen. We are led. Isaac, you know, he was led to Rebecca. You don't know. The servant prayed. He received Rebecca for prayer. He said, Father, let the woman that I asked for, you know, fill up by coming and give up. Let her be the woman. It was. Do you know God had put God ahead of him before? Because if you look at that prayer, that prayer said, Father, Lord, and he ended prayer. Rebecca said, come. So it means that God had already gone ahead. Okay. So please let's chillax. God, this is not a do or die affair. I see some posters. Marita 101, you know, prayer. What is going on? don't understand who you are, because if there's an issue you sense, it is a demonic issue, handle it in the place of the word and the place of prayer. You pray the word. No one jumping around from one divorce another. You are not, they told you that you have spirit husband and all that. You need to find out where is the word of God. What's God saying? God said, you have been joined to the Lord, is what spirit is saying. What is that spirit of God coming from? I refuse that in the name of Jesus. I refuse that in the name of Jesus. I don't have spirit in this. I come against every spirit of God. You remove that thing from the revelation of the word. Amen. Another way of doing relationship this way is having understanding. This is very important. This is the reason a lot of godly relationships break. They don't have understanding. The Bible says, it says in all thy getting, after you restore, say in all thy getting, get understanding. You get into a relationship. I don't have an understanding. You don't have an understanding. Your understandings of some things are very crucial. Sexual issues. What's your understanding behind it? Some people don't have it. So they're having sex in the relationship. When the Bible says that flee fornication, 1 Corinthians 6:14, 2 Corinthians 6:14, flee fornication. They are just there, you know, digging it with the guy, cohabiting with the guy. There is no understanding. The Bible says, shall two walk together, except they be agreed. They must 3-3. They are always having conflicting issues. You have understanding. Understanding. You need to have understanding of how it works. Because I've seen relationships that God said like this, not just to them, to their spiritual parents. God said, what did it work out? And they were angry, God, what you said is my own, but what do you mean? You didn't have understanding. You can get a job today by the hand of God. Favor, open the door, but you just step in. You are the one we're looking for in this company. But they employ you. And you come to work late. You don't do your project. They will sack you. Forget that thing. They will sack you. Because you're not doing that job with understanding. So when you're in a relationship, you need to have understanding. Get understanding. Get into messages. You know, we should pursue a relationship. Get books, read the Bible, study relationships, you know, books that are edifying. Ask the Lord, you know, to teach you about these things. And then have mentors. The Bible says in the multitude of counsel, there's safety. The relationship, you're just a relationship by yourself. The guy told you that if people have sex now, people are already married, people just need to, who was there when Adam and Eve come marry you. If you just can marry yourself, I register. And then, and then the marriage one and then access to God. You don't have no understanding. And they will say there's grace. There's grace. No need to just be I'm going to marry, what is marriage? There's no point. That's when people impose themselves on their back. After I'm going to marry, at what point? You tell you, how will I know the kind of person I'm going to do with if I don't test that. I won't know if I'm compatible. Someone was telling me that, not that I regret that I married a virgin. No experience, that's nothing. I love that. This is carnal thinking. He was a believer. This is carnal thinking. The God who made our bodies, our sexual organs, said we should flee fornication in marriage. And then the Bible says that, you know, we become the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was God, and by the word, all things were made, and without it was not anything made that was made. The word made the sexual organs. The same word can instruct you, can give you wisdom, inspire you on how to use it to satisfy your spouse. That's the thing. The boy, by the Holy Spirit, can teach you this is where to touch. This is like Mary said. But you don't have to practicalize. You don't have to practicalize. That's what people fear. I don't even know. If it's my wood, it's okay. So we should not do. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. What is faith? You believe. God said you believe it. If you get there, you say anything you see, you. It's the truth. You take it as a father, you praise. Man, I rejoice. surprised that like then a lady and then you're not like, ah, I don't think you guys are supposed to know the kind of size of your chest moves. I want to know if it's the kind that I can be okay with. You don't need to know anything. You will know on that day. Is it true? You will know on that day. How will anybody put you under pressure? How will anybody put you under pressure? There's timing. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 3, so there's time and season for everything under the heaven. Some of you, it's not a time for you to get into a relationship. It's time for you to build your life in God. Get rooted in Him. Get rooted in Christ Jesus. For some, it's time. But they are not, you know, it's not yet happening. And the Lord said that we should pray for those who they know they are due for marriage. They know. But for some reason it's not happening. For some reason it's not happening. Because there's an adversary. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Devil is an adversary. He's an opposer. He opposes God's plan. He opposes what God wants to do. He has seen that marriage is going to, you know, do great things for God. So, I just said, well, to marry. But as a man, in fact, marrying for more like what? He tried all he could, you know. But I knew God said I was going to get married at when I got married. So, I waited long with that word. You know, if you know that, you know, you are meant to have gotten married, we're going to do this as sisters. We're going to pray for each other. Jesus, you know, let's pray. If you're not standing, I want us to pray for that person. If you know you're here, you know it's time for you to get married. Don't be shy, you may be 19 years old. And you know. It's true. You know, please just let's. I want us to pray for such people. Anybody like that? Alright, please come in. Can they come forward? I want us to pray. God has had them in mind for this meeting. So, they're going to come kneel down in front here. I want us to pray for them. I want us to pray in spirit. You know, they are our sisters in the body of Christ. So, I want us to pray, speak for them, speedy establishment in our marital life. Speedy establishment in the name of Jesus. We pray for speedy establishment in the name of Jesus. Speedy establishment in the name of Jesus. I will say it if God didn't say it. He said by this time next year. you are married.
He takes this word.
He takes this word personally. It came from the throne of God. He called, he said, you know, to man, he said, pray for it. He called me twice. Pray for people who are due for marriage. And then he just gave a word now that by this name next day, you'll be married.
Amen.
Hold on to that word. You are married. In the name of Jesus, I call you Beulah. I call you married. In the name of Jesus, I will take authority over every all of the enemy, over every principality that has power. We take authority over them in the name of Jesus. You bring your spouse quickly by the hand of God. In the name of Jesus, you are the right place at the right time. In the name of Jesus, you are so told of a higher Father. We thank you.
We thank you,
Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you,
Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we give you all the praise.
Hallelujah.
We give you all the glory.
Thank you, Father.
All right, let me just hug you guys. Congratulations. We're going to congratulate them. Congratulations. We saw brother train dress. There was no man. We will carry our own wrapped around our body. We will do wedding reception in my room. Hey, you are going to call me, and then we just Holy Ghost, and then we sweat, and then we rejoice. So let's do some crazy things. So go and buy clothes. I know I did. Go and buy a cloth, wrap it around yourself, and say, this is on that day. This is how we dance. Play a song. Yeah, this song has made some money. Chime duo. Mercy, chimo. Contract everywhere. Don't say, husbands are coming. No, not husbands.
Husband is coming.
My husband is coming. You know, I see money everywhere. Just create that atmosphere in your room. That's something he does to you, and then when someone is also rejoicing, the Bible says rejoice with those who are rejoicing. Alright, when people are getting married around you, hey, glory! If you don't feel like it, do it. It's the word, acts of word. Bible says rejoice. Oh, glory to God. If I send a voice of glory, I'm happy for you. Glory to God. And then as you do that, we are building, you know, a consciousness and a habit of the life of the word. Amen.
Amen.
I look forward to your testimony. I'll personally be in your work at your wedding. I promise. If I am around, I'll be at your wedding because God specially held this meeting for you. God is amazing. It's nice to know it's amazing. You can't be here. You go to church, you guys go to church and then we pray. But then decided, you know, meet you guys at a meeting like this, and
all I can say is I'm grateful.
Thank
you to God.
Hallelujah. Were we blessed?
Yes.
Were we blessed? We're blessed. Let's give the Lord a shout of praise.
Alright,
so what did we learn? Can we sit down? What did we learn? Does anybody want to share? Okay. Yeah, this is only my part.
Okay. Yeah. I learned that we should understand seasons, first of all. There's a season for everything in one's life. And also, we shouldn't be in a hasty way to a relationship. You might be in that season where God wants you to build your relationship with him, and you are trying to build a relationship with a man. It won't just work out at that time. Because when we get to understand times and seasons, we know that, okay, this is my season to build my relationship with God. And there's a season for me to now start building a relationship with a man, and when the time comes, it's going to orchestrate the life to work out.
Wow.
That time. And then we should be led. Leading is very important. We should be led. We should not just go according to our own feelings.
Because
it is by feelings. You have feelings for a lot of guys. There are some that are always very, very nice. They're always there. When you need them,
yeah.
When you need help, they're always there.
Sure.
When you come to understand that you have to work by the leading of the Spirit, you know that, okay, this one is like a senior brother.
Yeah.
He's not supposed to be husband.
Yeah.
So we won't get to make the mistake of picking our brother or husband.
Exactly true. Yeah. Been led, yeah. Been led. Does anybody else want to share?
Okay, I just want to say something about being led. As believers, the way to be led is by the Spirit of God. So if you really want to be led, you have to be walking with the Spirit of God. That means you have to, you know, edify yourself by the Spirit, praying in other tongues. Amen. Begin to spiritual things. Don't be carnal. Let me just tell you the truth. What you do every day, so wake up, go to social media, watch series, gist, and pray. You may end up missing it in marriage. I'm not prophesying because you are feeding your soul with carnal things, and then all those that have been giving you information, all the movies you've been watching, maybe Jon Snow, oh, the guy that just has this Jon Snow kind of wave, just come with that guy as my husband, and then you're now doing that with that great revelation. You're not dreaming and seeing things that are not, you know. So we need to be spiritual. We need to be giving to spiritual things rather. Not be carnally minded. Because you spend time praying, so build your spirit. When you build your spirit, man, you will know things by the Spirit and you can be easily led. Alright, so what's going to share?
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Okay. I learned something. I took my mind.
Okay.
When you said, marry a man who knows you by revelation.
Yeah.
Something went to my mind. Like, remember this friend of mine? Everybody in my class then, nobody likes her. But then it was this guy, everybody wondered, this guy, what was this in this dream? Because generally, you know, in my mind, like my body was she's my sister. But then I was wondering that, I saw that, I was like, this guy is sensible. You said something, marry someone who knows my religion. I mean, I knew that guy himself said something beyond the physical.
Yeah.
This girl looks through the wall. I think she and I got close to this my friend. I know that she's someone that has vision. If she says she wants to do this thing, she can go any, no distraction, no matter what thoughts that means, she just focus that she's doing that thing. So by a man, I think that it really started. So the
marriage is not just about sex. I've been married for a very long time, and but it's not about the purpose. True, get tired, but there's something that keeps us going.
Yeah.
That is the purpose.
Yeah.
That's one thing that actually strikes my heart. Mm. Just like the example you used about our relationship with God. So when this keeps us, the thing that keeps us going is that, oh, we know this God.
Yeah.
Yes, there's a calling ahead. There's something He has said, the word from the beginning and all. So it's same thing. No wonder Paul said marriage is the mystery. And it's all about, it's just like Christ and the church. So it's just the same way, the relationship with God.
And you took a vow.
Yeah.
You took a vow. And then you said, to tell Josh, to tell Josh back and all, better for better and all that. And you said you were going to follow Jesus.
Yeah.
So that's how it is. Come, ready, come, shine. Alright. So, people are done. Glory to God. I'll just leave it for announcement. And I have some things you need to do. The happiest person right now is. Praise God, everyone. Trust me, we're really blessed by. All that was here. Yeah. So, you need to use an announcement.